Grant and Danny on The Fan. You can go vote on our 106.7 The Fan Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account.
We're Grant and Danny, and we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morot. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Mark Ein, member of the Commanders Ownership Group, was on with the Junkies today promoting a tennis event he has coming up. But they were able to talk to him about the state of the stadium and building at the RFK site. Some important answers from Mark Ein we wanted to go through and react to with you here. So let's start with him talking about the Commanders and the case they've made at RFK and why eventually he thinks this thing is going to work, even though right now it seems like progress is slow.
Yeah, look, I think the team's made an amazing case for why this makes a ton of sense. You know, you can look at it from so many different dimensions, but like, first of all, in D.C., there have been three stadiums built, and every single one has transformed the area it was in. Do you guys, when I moved back to D.C. in the 90s, I lived down the street from where Cap One Arena was. Mm-hmm. That literally, a block away was a red light district. Mm-hmm. You know, the East End was forgotten. No one came over. You build Cap One, that part of town's completely transformed. Then you do the baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. You go drive down there. It's actually incredible. I don't ever go down there, and it blows my mind how an old industrial area is now literally just building after building after building. And then you go to the soccer stadium, where I actually own the land under the soccer stadium. It was a junkyard and an old warehouse. And there was a coal-fired Pepco power plant there that was never going to move until the land was needed. You build a soccer stadium, it gets transformed. So, like, we have these case studies of what happens. And then you have 180 acres on that part of town where it hasn't gotten the same investment. And here's the perfect catalyst to do exactly the same thing, but actually even bigger.
So that was Mark Ein with the Junkies. I actually brought this part up with Charles Allen. The three stadiums built that have all been pretty huge successes in terms of what they've generated, not just in the way of bringing in money to the city, but what they've meant to the neighborhoods that they've completely transformed. He brought up the number one pushback that you're going to get on this, which is Nats Park, baseball, ballparks do better generally than NFL stadiums and ROI. Capital One Arena, you've obviously got basketball and hockey, so the combination of those two is kind of equal in dates to Nats Park, and then there's, because it's indoor, just limited number of events, you know, yeah. Limitless number of events,
dozens
in terms
and
of
dozens, yeah.
Concerts and stand-up shows and all kinds of stuff. But I would ask about Audi Field. I mean, that's very, very different. That's been a huge success over at Buzzard's Point, I guess it's called, right across the way here, kind of as the piggyback to Nationals Park in the Navy Yard. But my point is not that it isn't different. Comparing a ballpark to an NFL stadium, I get that. I've seen all of the same. Everyone still likes to cite the same things from 10, 7, and 8, and 12, and 4 years ago, or whatever else. It's probably still accurate now that ballparks are going to do better than NFL stadiums in terms of how many events you're going to have there and how much money is going to be generated. But I think that can be true, and it can also be immensely true that as a pillar for what they're going to do over there, this can be a wonderful transformation, and that the stadium can be a godsend to the city. And we are 3 for 3 in these projects being largely successful with the major team.
Sure. The word that advocates use is catalyst, right? As the anchor or the genesis of it. Because I'm from this area. I've driven through here a lot. It used to be this building didn't exist, certainly where we're sitting right now. And if you wanted to go what's now sort of 695 or to 295, the DC 50 or whatever, you would get off of a road by a McDonald's, a car wash, and a salt pile, take this weird left turn, and then kind of zip on back a highway. It's now a full, thriving neighborhood infrastructure system. It's all here. The catalyst, the first thing to come, was Nationals Park. When we were moving back, my wife and I were moving back from New York in 2011, there were a couple apartment buildings. None of this stuff was really here yet. It's all kind of been put up. And again, the catalyst was Nationals Park. That's what advocates will always point to, and there's a good case to be made there.
All right, let's go to the second of these cuts we've got from Mark Ein with the Junkies today on other economic drivers for RFK, including the World Cup and the Super Bowl. Now, the big point the team is making is they got to move quickly here because they're trying to get their hands in on some of these events. And the longer D.C. City Council waits, the harder it's going to be, specifically with the World Cup, Women's World Cup, to try to land events to be hosted at the stadium.
You know, I've lived the journey here. I was on the board to bring the Olympics here. I was co-chair of the group to try to bring the 2026 World Cup to D.C. And that was so frustrating because FIFA badly wanted to have games in D.C. next year. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual for a capital city not to get games. But we didn't have a stadium. They made us bid for the World Cup with the Baltimore Stadium. And what people may forget is that the National Fan Festival for the World Cup was going to be on the National Mall. We were going to have three of the biggest teams staying in D.C. All that's gone. And yeah, that's nice because you get to go to games, but the economic impact of stuff like that is so massive, you know? And then you listen at the press conference, Roger talked about that, you know, he had no promises, but certainly you're going to be considered for Super Bowls. The economic impact in New Orleans was $1.2 billion for the Super Bowl. So, like, these things are economic drivers.
So Hines' suggestion, and part of that answer, but more accurately, I would say the statement that they put out as an organization going back this week was, the reason we got to move is, they cited Women's World Cup, but we've got to start courting these events. We cannot wait. Charles Allen, who was on our show a couple of hours ago, the council member in D.C., does not buy that. He thinks whether they vote in July or in the fall, which he said they will vote in the fall. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know how you can guarantee me that when you don't agree with the deal and you need a new deal that the team has to agree to. And if they don't agree to it, there's going to be no vote. But he's saying we're going to have a vote. It's going to be in the fall. And it's fine that it's going to be in the fall because they're not going to miss out on anything. And them suggesting that they will is not accurate. This was Allen, the D.C. council member.
It's a more than $1 billion investment with a $1 billion industry. So don't pretend there aren't going to be like pressure points that people are going to try to put on folks. Everyone needs to take a breath. Like I said, put a little bit of ice water in your veins and realize this is a big deal. It's a big decision. Everybody's working in good faith, trying to figure out, can that plane be landed? But there's nothing that changes if you want to focus on a 2030 season. There's nothing that changes if the vote takes place July 15th versus September or even October. I think the one piece that I've seen folks throw out is, gosh, we don't want to miss out on the FIFA World Cup 2031 bid. Those bids aren't due until the end of November. So when people try to convince you that there's some magic in July, that's just not true. And I've talked with folks with U.S. Soccer. They're like, as long as you have a decision made by the end of November so your bid comes in, you're fine. So everyone needs to take a breath here and make sure we get a good deal, because this is a decision we live with for the next 50 to 75 years. It's going to outlast you and me. We've got to make sure we make the right decision for the future of our city, for the future of this part of our city, and make sure that it's the right deal for D.C. taxpayers. Because right now, it's not a good deal. But there is an opportunity to make it a good one, and that's what people should be working toward.
I think everybody involved is advocating and making a good case. So from, let's say I'm now the team. I have a team hat on. I'd like to get this stadium done as soon as possible. That's a very reasonable position. City, don't rush us. We want to make sure the deal's as good as it can possibly be. Also very reasonable. I think those are natural, normal positions kind of in the course of this thing as they butt heads. If I'm a council member, I hear what Charles Allen's saying about, you may miss this one event. You may not get it done in time. It's a much longer timeline than that. We're talking about decades, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, hopefully, the life of this stadium as it goes before either you need a new one, another 20 years before we need to start, you know, dipping in and doing renovation budgets and upkeep and all those other kinds of things. This is a much longer term thing than this one event that you're trying to target if we don't get it done in the next 2 weeks. I understand that.
So you agree with him on that? It's easy to say you understand. I think everyone understands both sides of it. But
who's got a better case to me?
Yeah, whose side are you on?
Again, if I trusted the council was doing everything that they said and was actually following through in the correct ways and wasn't motivated in other directions, just based on the statements, right. I guess I would side with the council in that regard. Where I go, if I'm not sure this is good, I will not be rushed because you guys want to make a little bit more money on the Women's World Cup.
Right.
This is going to be here long after I'm dead that my grandkids are going to go to. We need to make sure we do the right thing. If that's really what's happening, then that is a more compelling case to me.
So for me, I'm putting $2.1 billion in this thing happens every several years. I need to get my crack at it. This is a first opportunity to make a ton of the money back. And by the way, that's not just me that wants the money back. You guys are worried about getting your money back, right? That's the whole argument here. Mm-hmm. We're giving you $1 billion. What if we can't get our money back? Well, one of the seminal opportunities early on in this stadium's existence in year one is in front of us here to make back millions of dollars. We're going to get it started. We're going to get your money back for you. That's the whole thing you care about, right, is getting your money back. We're going to make sure we could do that, but there's five events, let's say, that mean the most to us in the first 7, 10, 12 years, whatever it is, of the stadium, mm-hmm. and one of them, and the earliest one, would be this thing that you may miss the boat on. Now, I don't know, because they're also in conflicting on whether or not they'd actually miss out. He's saying, we can wait till November and still get it. And the team is going, no, we can't. We need to get this thing done now and know that we're going to have a stadium in D.C. so that we can make the pitch. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong there either. But as has been the case, that's part of my frustration, by the way, is that each of these council members will come on and say, we want the stadium. We're going to get the stadium. Like, be calmer. The stadium's going to come here. Don't worry. This is going to happen. It's just going to happen in the fall. But how can you possibly say that when you're telling me that this deal's terrible, you don't want anything to do with this deal, and you want something to do with a very different deal that isn't on the table at all? The team's not right now suggesting that they're willing to do another deal. So forgive my skepticism of how awesome this is going to go in the fall. You're saying, and by the way, I disagree with him, obviously, but he keeps saying it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. Okay, well, this is the deal. So, and you're also in the same sentence telling me we're going to get a deal in the fall. How do you know that? How could you possibly be so confident? They think this is a good deal. You think it's a terrible deal. What about the next deal when they think it's good and you think it's bad? Like, it's just the patting me on the head and telling me to calm down and sit back and let the adults handle it, as if they didn't screw up sports betting in D.C. and so many other things. That's the frustration I have.
Which I understand completely. The confidence may come from the dialogue that he said was ongoing, talking about Charles Allen, where I asked, was like, hey, you're not just shooting these complaints off into the ethosphere. You're not doing what's the guy's name? Yosemite Sam. I complain. Boo, boo, boo. Like, you're actually talking to people about it. And he, to his credit, he said, yes, the team is talking. The mayor is talking. Everybody's sitting down and addressing the concerns. So maybe based on that dialogue, there's a confidence. I'm with you, though, in this regard. That's awesome. Where's my progress? Where's my movement?
I don't think the team's putting out the statement it put out a couple days ago about why it would be a big deal for what the city council's trying to do to not be done, and why it would be damaging to the overall cause if they feel like everything's going swimmingly. And by the way, the most right now, like peeling back all the layers, mm-hmm. what is kind of at the core of this thing is the team is suggesting we need to know this summer whether or not they are going to be in. And the city council members, one by one that have come on here, other than the original four yeses who are still yeses, one by one, the city council people have come on and said, there's no way we're going to be able to vote on this thing in the summer. And the team keeps saying, we need to know by the summer. So that's a big difference.
It is.
And by the way, it's the only thing that matters.
So again, it sounds like I'm like Team Charles Allen here. I'm mad at everybody. So his point, though, about they've tipped their hand, this is what they want. It sounds like several members of the council are going, you're not really going to leave. Now, maybe
100% they're saying that.
Maybe you push them to the point that they do.
Well, I asked him point blank. So if you guys missed the interview, he basically said they're not going anywhere. They're not leaving. They're not going back to Maryland. And I said, so you're calling their bluff. And he basically said, there's no bluff to call. His suggestion is Maryland is irrelevant now. Maryland doesn't matter now. Wes Moore has moved on. By the way, I think if they called Wes Moore today and said, hey, we want to build a stadium, I'll bet you he'd pick up the phone call and start talking to them. But that was, to put words in his mouth, essentially what he said. Mm-hmm. Let's grab that, Darris. That was cut 9 here. So this is July 15th, deadline is artificial. Doesn't think Maryland's still in play. So essentially, you're calling their bluff.
What bluff to call? It's not going to happen by July 15th. So it's an artificial deadline that people want to put on us. For what?
They could go back to Maryland and get the project started if they wanted to.
Really? Governor Moore is already talking about the future of that site and how he finally has a chance to do something different there. That's not going to happen. This is so different than what you saw take place in Virginia, where DC worked hard to get Cap One back, which should never even gotten to that place. The dynamics are not playing out similarly here. You've got a Commanders team that wants to be in DC. You've got DC leaders that are in good faith negotiating and working with the team on that. So I'm not worried about a July 15th date at all. I don't think you should be either.
Wants to be in DC. No doubt about that. How badly, I guess, is the question.
Right.
Do they feel like they need to be in D.C.? I think they do. They know the upside is there. That's the best case scenario. But do they feel like it's their only option? Because he's acting as if, and I think that we actually just got to the bottom of what I don't want to say the problem is here, but it's pretty obvious. The team is going, hey, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. And D.C.'s going, we got nothing but time here.
Right.
So we got to, I think psychologically, sitting down on the couch today with Charles Allen, they don't think they have any other option. They don't think there is another plan B, and they're going, we'll get to it whenever we're ready to get to it, and you'll like it.
Yeah, or they don't think 3 months is a big deal.
Whereas both are true, I think.
It's not 10 years. It's not, hey, we'll let you know in 6 months if there's another 6 months or another year. This is like, if we don't get this certified and ratified until 3 months from now, everything's fine. Everything's on course. And the team's going, no, because they're doing public pressure.
Of course.
Because that's what they want to do.
But Danny, I would have 100% agreed with you before the interview. In the interview, you just heard it.
Mm-hmm.
He does not think they have another option.
Right.
He thinks they have, as you said, tipped their hand. I like that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks they have kind of made it clear they want to be in D.C. to the extent that there's no going back now. I disagree with that. Maybe that's an interesting question to bring up. I mean, do people think that if this were to go sideways, they would actually go back to Maryland? Or do you think they've made it apparent at this point that it's D.C. or bust? And they will end up waiting. They're just trying to strong-arm the city council into doing it sooner. But eventually it's going to be D.C. So if the city council makes them wait it out till October, November, December, or 7 months after that, that it's RFK 2.0, and that's the only vision that they've got.
Well, I think it gets back to the argument that you and I have had 7 billion times, I think, on this show, about you think it's viable. I think it's not. So
which part?
Going to FedEx 2.0. I think they know that. I think they're too smart to go back there. So I think they've tipped their hand. And again, in that way, I agree with Alan that it's now DC or bust.
So you don't think they would build another stadium there?
I think there's a point that's a long way from now where they would go, I don't know the answer to. And I know that's frustrating.
But is long like 6 months or is long like 2 years?
Long to me is where they finally go, you know what? I don't think this is going to happen. We've been told 2 more weeks. We've been told another month. We've been told 2 months, 3 months. Now we're going to delay to this. Now we'll delay to that. If it finally gets to the point where you go, you know what? I don't believe this is ever going to happen, then they would go.
I think they want to be in a new stadium in 2030.
I think they'd like that too.
And they want it to be in D.C. But if it gets to a point where it's not going to be in D.C., then they'll build in Maryland and have a new stadium in 2030. I don't think it's going to get there, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the fall, the city council will vote, and the team will allow, you know, basically just have no choice but to allow that to be the timeline,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be unhappy about it. But then they'll have a big press conference like Leonsis did with the mayor, where it's like anything.
Everybody
that
congratulates themselves.
Yeah, before that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the idea that Maryland's not an option, which is effectively what you're saying, for a different reason. You're saying it's a terrible place to have a stadium, and they know it. Right?
That's the fundamental
difference
between
Charles
you and I.
Allen saying you've moved on and Maryland's move on. That part I think is
I can't find that anywhere,
ridiculous.
By the way.
That's the second council member who said that to us.
Yeah.
That basically Westmore is happy to not have the stadium now, and they just can't wait to use that real estate for something else. Really? I bet you that's not quite true. I'll bet you next time he's picking the Texans against the Chiefs for B. Mitch and Finley, let's ask him about that. Is it true that you don't want the stadium? You don't want the Commanders anymore? Because I bet you he would say otherwise. But let's open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny. The question for you guys is, do you think Maryland would be an option if this goes sideways? It's pretty clear the city council doesn't think that's real. And Charles Allen today suggested Maryland is off the table. There's no way that they will leave the RFK site to go back there, essentially no matter how long the city council takes. Do you agree with that or not? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Mark Ein was on the show today with the Junkies here on The Fan, and we just had Councilmember Charles Allen on with us when juxtaposing some of the audio of the two sides here, Commander's ownership and a member of City Council. You know, both seem to say nothing but positive things about the other side. Yet, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of crossing that bridge to meet in the middle happening just yet. Nobody's really budging. Commanders won a vote on July 15th. It's pretty obvious that's not happening as of right now based on the city council members we've talked to, that they don't think it's on the table. In fact, Charles Allen told us today there's going to be public hearings that they want to have.
Two weeks after that.
Yeah, July 28th. And then he said that they're hoping to get to a vote. He thinks there's no reason they can't get to a vote in the fall. This is the same thing we heard from Zachary Parker a couple of weeks ago as well. What I find interesting, by the way, if you remember, the big press conference, which is potentially going to go the way of the Ted Leonsis Virginia press conference, but hopefully not. But you had the mayor and you had Josh Harris, and everyone came together with the pictures and, you know, talked about the new stadium. We were all excited. That day, there were four council members there. And I remember we talked about they needed seven votes. And that was seen as this really encouraging thing that four people are strong yeses. They're supporting this. They're already there. Well, Danny, that was, what day was that press conference? 2 months ago? I mean, it was a long time ago. It's still those four people on the city council that are saying yes. And I remember right away you and I said, let's start getting these people on. Let's talk to them. Let's see who's a yes and who's a no. And our assessment was there's probably a lot of these undecideds that are yeses too. And it turns out the people that didn't go to that thing are still no's. And the people that did are still yeses. And it's not like there's any tangible growth toward a yes. Now, I'm sure they're getting some things done behind the scenes, and I know the commanders are answering the phone 24-7, and they want this thing to move. But when you have Charles Allen saying it's a bad deal, when you have Zachary Parker saying it's a bad deal, who's the other guy we had on who I really, really liked, who did a video yesterday without his belt where someone was snapping a belt behind him? It's very weird. Robert White.
Robert White.
Robert White, who was like a really cool guy with the really weird TikTok video with the belt, whatever that was yesterday. He's a very impressive guy. And he came in here and kind of said some of the same things, which is he didn't go as hard in saying it's a bad deal. I don't know if he used the word bad, but he said that this is not a deal that works for him, and he hopes to get to a deal that can work for him. So everyone just keeps saying, we'll handle it in the fall. You got a lot to get done between now and then. Forgive my nervousness. But the question on the table right now is, Charles Allen made it seem like Maryland is off the table. And my entire tone on this, when I talk to him or any of these other council members, or when we talk about this, you and I in studio, is based on DC blowing this. Like, what if they blow this and we have to keep going to Landover, Maryland? That would be devastating for a lot of people.
Right.
But it clearly seems like, and maybe it's just him, maybe it's not a broader city council point, he does not think that that's on the table in any way. He thinks eventually they're going to strike a deal, whenever that is, and the stadium's going to be built in D.C. because in his mind, it doesn't seem like he thinks they have any other options.
Yeah, that's the tone of it. And I think any of the folks that are saying, hey, let's take our time, would probably acknowledge there is some drop-dead point. They don't think they're within light years of it, is the way that I would think of it. So despite public pressure, despite statements from the mayor, despite statements from the team saying, hey, it's time, we need this done, July 15th, the deadline is real, we're going to miss out on the World Cup, or whatever they're saying, I think the folks on the council that are going, we will not be rushed, don't really believe that on July 16th the deal gets pulled, or September 1st, or I don't know when that deadline is. I don't know when that worm would turn. Because again, you have a little bit of precedent here where Josh Harris finally got sick of dealing with it in Philadelphia and finally said, screw it, we're not building it there anymore. That did happen. Now, that was a lot longer than this one, right, where you had a month or whatever to find your own economic studies and get all questions answered and have a normal course of debate. So, I don't know. There is a drop-dead point. I think they'd all acknowledge that. But they don't really believe that the team is anywhere near it, despite public statements.
So, listen to the different answers on the different sides today on this station. Mark Ein, who's a part of the ownership group, was on with the Junkies talking about if there is a deadline to get this thing moving.
I don't want to get into that stuff. I do legitimately believe everyone is working towards getting this done and getting it done so it can open in 2030. And that's what we're certainly hoping is going to happen.
So, you're not at this point, you're not sweating it.
I honestly think that the right thing's going to happen. I think it's pretty clear. And I also think if you listen to people aren't saying they're against it. They just want to make sure that we run a good process. I really believe it's going to happen.
So I can't underscore this enough. I spoke to somebody with the team this week, and that was the entire
tenor
messaging. Mm-hmm. I'll say that was their messaging, was basically, we're going to be in a new stadium in 2030, and it's going to be in D.C. And I'm going, but you're saying that you need to break ground in 2026 to do that. And they go, yes. And I'm going, but what if you can't? And they go, we think we're going to be able to. But what if you can't? We think we're going to be able to. But what's more important, new stadium in 2030 or being in D.C.? And to me, that is the billion-dollar question. Mm-hmm. And that's where, take your guesses, but I would say the way they mentioned 2030, they're certainly putting out that vibe that that's more important than being in D.C. Now, again, the council member says they'll call their bluff on that. This was Alan when asked about that July 15th deadline.
There have to be a lot of changes, and so that's going to take a little time, but I would expect you'd see a vote sometime in the fall. But you know,
when you say the fall, is that September? Is that November? Like, what do you mean by that?
My hunch would be it's more in the September-October timeframe, but there's not a set date on that. But listen, if you were the Commanders or if you're the mayor, of course you're going to tell everybody, gosh, it's got to happen by this date or everything falls apart. Listen, the Commanders have made no secret. They want to be in D.C. And D.C. is coming in full faith, working hard to figure out, is there a deal that can be had here and what changes have to happen? So people need to have a little bit of ice water in their veins here and realize, like, this is a billion-dollar industry. We're all talking to each other and working toward what will ultimately be a decision.
Ice water in the veins was a good line.
Yeah.
Everybody calm down. It's going to happen. Do you trust them to do it and get it done and land the plane? Let's go to Melvin in Centerville on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What's up, buddy? How are you? Melvin, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, man.
Yes. Hey, how we doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Great show. Always love your content. Have to start off with that.
Appreciate you.
One of the things that Charles Allen has not been paying attention to, if he believes that there is no other option but D.C., is that Hogg owns the land in Landover.
I'm going to throw you on hold just because the phone's crackling really bad. And it's
thunderstormy there where you are or something.
It's hard to track it, so we'll see if we can get a better sound and phone for you. Let's go to Rick in Germantown. What's up, Rick?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. All is well, hopefully, with you. I think this thing is not going to go back to Maryland. And for optic purposes, if Mayor Bowser would have brought Mendelsohn in on the photo opportunity, he would have been put in the corner and would have got this deal done. But now he can play the politician's game.
I mean, that you think that the frustration between the council and the mayor outside of the stadium deal is negatively affecting the stadium deal, it sounds like.
I think so, too. If Mendelsohn was in that photo op, he would have felt proud of himself and taken credit for it.
But how do you get him in the photo op when he doesn't want the stadium deal? In other words, all of the council members were probably invited to that press conference. The ones that don't want it didn't show up.
True, that is true, but a good politician would have found a way to bring him in that photo op just for optic purposes.
Listen, I couldn't speak to it, honestly. That's as good a theory as any. Serious, in all sincerity, I have no idea. I don't know if a simple photo would have fixed it, or a call beforehand, a heads up, or if they were so at odds over things for so many years that had nothing to do with this, it wouldn't have helped, or he wouldn't have shown up. I don't know.
It is a sticking point for the council. Yeah. I mean, Parker brought up several times, even more than that, I would say. The council member we had on before that in studio, even more times than that, you know, over and over again, how they weren't included. The mayor brought this to them at the last minute. We found out when everyone else found out. I mean, that's clearly a sticking point and a source of frustration. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. What about the first caller's point before we went away from the bad line, where he referenced that the team owns the land in Maryland? And so, that's a major factor. I'm guessing he's saying they can level the stadium and just build there if they want to.
Yeah, that you've got more control there than you do in other spots is kind of an ultimate trump card to play, potentially. I don't know. I mean, it is fascinating that there are three different locales already at play here. The practice facility in Ashburn, the corporate offices of the team, whatever, in somewhere else in PG County, I think in College Park, then the stadium land, the land around it that they own there at Nubbs Field location in Landover. And now this parcel of land they're going to lease in D.C. They're very you know, a lot of moving parts and machinations there. I don't know how much of a leverage play that is. In terms of, we could easily go back there. I suppose that it is, but I think they've given away their leverage. This is the argument I've made all along, is they know that's not the place they want to be. They know the upside is far greater, and that's why they're willing to spend so much money to do this urban stadium thing in this unique location right next to the water there at RFK.
I also think that when Alan said, make sure you ask the Commanders about bringing their corporate offices to D.C., why wouldn't they do that? I think something like that's not going to hold up the deal. Now, and asking members of the organization about that in the past, it's not like they said, oh, yeah, we'd love to bring our corporate offices there. But it didn't sound like a deal breaker. And their point is, we'd like everyone to be under one roof if we do this thing correctly, so that basically that the business side and everyone else can draft off of the successes of the football operation and what Peters and Quinn are building as a culture.
Living, breathing, tax-paying citizens there in D.C. as part of a really successful business, that's a normal want for the council there.
And I see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. You want everything together, ideally. Well, the practice facility is not going to be in D.C. There's not enough space for it if you're going to protect all the land and all the things that they're making you protect and to do. So if I can't have my practice facility and you want everybody under one roof, it gets hard to do that. But I don't think that's going to hold this whole thing up in the end. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Speaking of the Commanders, I saw an ESPN.com piece today, one move remaining this offseason for every NFL team. I'll tell you what they have the Commanders doing for their one final move next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll tell you what ESPN proposed as the one final offseason move for the Commanders in less than 2 minutes. But Dan's in Warrington, wants to hop in. We've been talking about the stadium negotiation that's ongoing. Dan, you had a thought on Councilmember Allen suggesting there's no way that the Commanders would go back to Maryland. They've already showed their hand, and they're going to be in D.C. no matter how long it takes.
To your point, I think Westmore and the folks there in PG County, I believe they've had I forget the young lady's name, a new council member or the county executive. I think they would jump at the chance, given the economic drivers that would be involved in doing something at Old Nubs Field, because they see what's happened in Baltimore with M&T and Camden Yards. And I think the D.C. council now, it's kind of like Tony Soprano's entered a chat, right? They're like, oh, wow, we know you want to be here. You're going to be here. So let's see what we can milk out of you to get this done.
Yeah, that's essentially how the negotiation's going to work, is they're going to squeeze everything they can out of the Commanders. And it would stand to reason, Danny, that the less leverage they think Washington has, or the more locked in they think this ownership group is to being on the mall in D.C., over at the RFK then the more chicken they're going to play, the more demands they're going to make, the better the deal gets for D.C., the worse it gets for the owners.
Sure, and again, that's reasonable. That's what every negotiation in the history of mankind is supposed to be, right? You try to get as much as you can, and so does the other guy.
Do you have leverage or don't you?
Yeah, so does the other guy. So, I don't know. I mean, the M&T comp, I understand the point in general, but they want to do something over there because there's nothing there. They're like, Westmore has prioritized or has said, I want to do something in that area. Stadium, no stadium, whatever. It's an empty shell. It's a nothing. We'd like to make it something.
And they have a plan now that they think is going to return them just as much financially as the stadium currently does. Now, it's got to be acknowledged that the current stadium is basically 12 events a year or whatever it is, right? It's 10 football games. And then they have a few concerts and a few soccer games. But you're talking about a dozen to 20 max legitimate events. Mm-hmm. A new stadium with a roof in the city, not in Landover, Maryland, in a pristine state-of-the-art facility is going to have way more events and do way better. Just as an example, they were not willing to hold a World Cup game at Northwest Nub Stadium. So the World Cup, when it's in the United States of America, mm-hmm. is going to have, rather than its host city in the capital city, they're going to do a lot of the stuff that would have been done in D.C. in the Baltimore area, and then they're going to have a game in Baltimore. That's embarrassing that yeah. we cannot have a soccer game in the number one, by the way, TV market in the United States of America for international soccer and the World Cup every 4 years. But they wouldn't have it at that stadium because the stadium's so run down and terrible.
Mm-hmm.
At a new stadium, they would. So my point is there's so much fewer events there now that it is actually really easy to make up the money that they make at that stadium. And more people went this year, but in the past, it hasn't even been full for the football games. So they think that the plan they've got for that land when they knock down the stadium and do the things they're going to build with Washington's help financially is actually going to be every bit as good for them. I understand why they're okay with them leaving in that regard, because they're not getting a stadium. But as soon as the Commanders call again, it's like saying, hey, no problem. Like, you picked another host. You said you didn't want to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go embarrass myself sending a bunch of tweets. I'm going to say, hey, man, have a good show. Enjoy it. I hope you guys have success. If you called me back and were like, hey, let's get the band back together, my tone might change. You have made a decision to right. leave. Of course, I'm okay with you leaving. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I got
to
figure out a plan B here.
Wrap my hands around your legs and, not, you know, like my son when I leave for a 4-day trip and get dragged across the kitchen? No, Wes Moore is saying, fare thee well. But as soon as they pick up the phone and go, you guys are back in the mix, D.C. is not doing what we need him to do, my guess is he's willing to have a conversation.
Yeah, the tone might change there, and understandably so, because right now I think, just from what I'm seeing, and somebody could tell me that I'm wrong, but they basically are starting contingency plans, the next phase, which is, we don't have this stadium anymore, what are we going to do with it? It's the everybody's favorite term, mixed-use developments, and more this, more affordable that, and more places to live, and more cool things, and all this other wonderful stuff that they're planning on doing. If there was a stadium there, potentially, that might change some of those plans. But again, they also might be able to play the leverage game themselves. I mean, you never know how this thing's going to go.
Aaron Schatz of ESPN, one final move this offseason for every NFL team. What do you think the move he made for Washington was?
Center defensive end?
Extend Terry McLaurin.
Oh, that's smarter.
Extend your number one wide receiver. Still think early July is probably the timeline when we can start looking for that, between the start of July and training camp. Feels about right. If we get to camp and he hasn't re-signed yet, that would be surprising, but that would be a pretty big deal, too.
It certainly would be. I mean, last go-around, it was early July, as I recall, right? Where I was incorrect, by the way. I hammered Ron and the Martys and Marty and Marty and Martin and Marty and Marty for their ineptitude. I thought they were missing the boat on the McLaurin extension. I was wrong. They got it done. Egg on my face, but then more egg on them because they were terrible at their jobs in general. But now, so I'm not as panicked at this point. But if we get past middle of July and it's not done, I'll start looking at my watch going, Is something afoot here? I wonder what's happening.
I think you forgot one of the Martys. How many did you say?
I said 7.
I think there was one more.
Marty, Martin, Marty, Marty, Marty. Remember? And Marty.
Yeah. Marty Erat.
And Marty.
Marty Farivari.
Who am I missing?
You forgot Farivari.
Oh.
When he sat in on one of the meetings.
McFly. That's who I missed.
For sure.
That's me.
Grant and Danny's Marty. Tony's Mailbag to wind the week down next. This is our Ask Us Anything. Can be about sports. Something you didn't hear us cover or wanted us to talk more about. Could be non-sports as well. Something you're interested in behind the scenes as far as radio goes. That's why we're here for the Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. Final segment every week. We'll do it next.